Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Proverbs chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. As a matter of fact, we're going to study Proverbs chapter 10, verses 4 and 5 tomorrow as well, because in this passage, we're going to see a slacker, and we're going to see a diligent man. And we want to find out the characteristics of both. And frankly, the book of Proverbs and some other places in the Bible have so much to say about this topic of a slacker and this topic of the diligent, that it really wasn't practical to try to do both of these in the same day. I mean, ideally, we could do both in the same day so you don't end on a negative note here today. But frankly, in order to do the subject justice, we need to spend today's broadcast on the slackers, and then tomorrow's broadcast, we'll talk about the diligent and get them both. So let's read the passage and then we'll study. Proverbs chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. All right. Notice what he says in verse 4. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand. Now here is the guy who is lazy. He deals with a slack hand. And you know something? When you read this passage of Scripture, it is amazing how up-to-date the King James Bible is. I mean, you know, you've been listening to us that we preach and teach the King James Bible. We believe it's the Word of God. But we don't believe the argument that says that it's not up-to-date or not modern enough. You know why? Because today, we still use the word slacker to describe a man that deals with a slack hand. We call him a slacker even to this day. Listen, when a man is on a job and he starts to cut back on the level of his work, you know what we say? He's slacking off. You don't need a more modern way to say what you already say. It is your common street language. He's slacking off. He's a slacker. Just by comparison, I thought you might want to know, the New American Standard Version says he deals with a negligent hand. That sound easier and more simple to you? Okay, you get the point. Let's run the references on this subject and see what the Bible has to say by comparing the slacker to the diligent. And today what we'll do is we'll deal with slackers. And with the slack hands, first of all, we find this, poverty. Poverty. Look in verse 4. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand. What does he get? Poverty. Dealing with a slack hand makes poor people. All right, here's the deal. A system that encourages people not to work is a system that perpetuates the very poverty that it seeks to eliminate. You know what I'm talking about. I realize there are legitimate reasons why a person might need to be on what the system calls welfare for a period of time. I'm not sure that I agree that it should be the government's responsibility. I'm just thinking of a case where I heard the other day of a young family. The oldest boy was 22 years old. He had twin brothers and he had two sisters that were younger than he is. And his mother died and his father was gone. He petitioned the court for custody of his siblings and sacrificed to raise them. He is now working, making, what, $31,000 a year? And he's got the bills, but he's pushed them on their education. He had a sister that was slacking off, making C's and D's. He disciplined her to study better, and now she's making A's. The guy, I mean, you know what? That guy just gutted up and did whatever it took to take care of his family. There was a period of time when he needed some help from the government, I think, in their housing. And you can understand that, see? But he didn't intend to stay there. He made sure that his brothers and sisters made good enough grades to get into college, and he made sure that he worked his schedule so that he could get a job making enough money to be able to put groceries on the table. That is not a slacker. That's a diligent man, where there are other people who would say, well, fine, if the government's willing to take care of me now, they can take care of me all the way till I die. And a system that encourages people not to work is a system that perpetuates the very poverty that it seeks to eliminate. It won't work, because he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand. Whatever programs are put into place have got to have incentives where people have a reason to get up and go. All right? With slack hands, not only do we find poverty, but this. We find with slack hands, sleep. Sleep. Look at verse 5. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. Okay? What does the slacker do? He sleeps in harvest. He that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. So the next thing we find with slack hands is sleep. You know what they want is time off. Less work and more pay. They don't accumulate sick leave, because every time they have a little bit of it, they call in sick. Sometimes it's not legitimate. They're just trying to take off some time. They don't want to work that hard. Now take a harvest, for instance, which is what's discussed here in the passage. I have known farmers, because of the speed with which their crops reached final maturity, and because of the need to get those crops out of the field to avoid a loss, I've known farmers to sleep in their combines and sleep in their tractors. I mean, they get in that combine or they get in that tractor, and they start running, and their wives will bring them a meal, and they'll eat that meal in the tractor and keep it running, and they'll cut under headlights until the moisture is too high. They'll sleep in the tractor, and as soon as that thing clears, they're back at it again. Why? Because they're diligent. They're not slackers. They know that they have to get the crop out while they can. You see, I understand something about that. We've got some farming, but I also, when I was younger, I worked in a grain elevator, and my job was to check the moisture, and then, you know, a lot of other odd jobs. We had to clean out upstairs in the conveyor belts where all that grain dust had accumulated to keep from having a fire, and we had to help unload trucks and every other kind of thing that went on. But we had to run that elevator until they quit cutting and start again as soon as the dew burned off. And I mean, sometimes we were there till 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, run home, shower to get all that grain dust off of me, get a quick sleep, wake up, eat another breakfast, jump back in the car, and get there in time for the first cut, because it didn't last that long. Hot summer, hot dry summer. And that's just what we had to do. You just have to forego sleep in cases like that. I remember working cattle. We would work cattle until the work was done. And if that meant getting off at 4:30 or whatever, and then doing a few odd jobs till 6, okay. And if that meant working till 6:30, 7, 8 o'clock at night, then that's what you did. We didn't plan it that way, but there were days when it just worked out like that. And there were times when we had to start as early as needed in order to get to the far pasture, the river pasture. We'd ride horses out there, and sometimes we'd have to leave at 4:30 in the morning, ride in the dark. As a matter of fact, years ago, I was visiting with a friend down in Hebronville, and he was an artist. He grew up on a ranch, so he understood all that, and he had just sculpted a new bronze. And he was telling me, "Say, hey, I want you to come look at my new bronze." I said, "Yeah, man, I'd like to see it." I said, "What do you call it?" He said, "I call it Waiting for Daylight." I said, "I can tell you exactly what it looks like." Before I'd seen it, I told him, I said, "I know exactly what it looks like. You've got a man sitting in a saddle with his hands crossed over the saddle horn and his head down. He's catching a nap in the saddle because he's arrived at the cattle before the sun was up, and as soon as the sun is up, he's going to start working." He turned around, smiled at me, and he said, "You know exactly what it looks like." And that's what the bronze was. Waiting for daylight. You know what that is? That's a man that cut his sleep short in the morning so that he could be at the place where the cattle were to be gathered by daylight. And he just happened to get there a little bit early. Well, with slack hands, you won't find a man like that. You know why? He'd rather sleep. With slack hands, we find poverty, we find sleep, and I'll tell you something else we find shame. Look at verse 5 again. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. You know why? Because here, in this case, I mean, he says a son, you see, a son that causeth shame. Here the dad and the family are depending upon the kid who'd rather sleep than work. And when the crops are not put up for the winter, they won't have enough food to make it till the next harvest. So, you know what's going to happen? They're going to have to beg or they're going to have to borrow. Thus the shame. Because they got to go to their neighbors and say, well, you know, our boy, you know, he'd rather stay up all night partying and then he can't get him out of bed in the morning to come to work. And we didn't get the crops in, and I'm sorry that we ran up short, but our cattle are hungry and we need something. Can we borrow some hay? Now, they wouldn't have had to do that if the slacker had done his job. You know, we have a proverb about this thing. You know what it is? Make hay while the sun shines. And in the summer, you got more sunlight. Make hay while the sun shines. I mean, this guy here, this slacker here that causes shame, he can really hurt you. Look at Proverbs chapter 10, verse 26. He could really hurt you. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 26, as vinegar to the teeth and as smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to them that send him. I mean, I like to cook out, don't you? Or sit by the old campfire. Man, that smoke turns and gets in your eyes. It'll just plug up your sinuses and burn your eyes. Vinegar to the teeth, there's nothing fun about that. And there's nothing fun about having a sluggard for a son. I mean, you're ashamed of him because he's not panning out. Not only will he hurt you that way and cause you shame that way, but people begin to question your ability as a parent. You know? And that's what makes you look bad. All right, here's another thing. With slack hands, we find waste. We find waste. Look at Proverbs chapter 18, verse 9. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 9. All right, look what the Bible says. He also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. So with a slack man, with a sluggard, with a slothful man, we find waste. What's the problem? He's too lazy, for instance, to put away the leftovers. Hard enough to get a meal cooked, but by the time that happens, just leave it out. Don't want to do the dishes. Don't want to mess with it. The food begins to get bad before you can get it into the refrigerator. It's no longer good to eat. Won't mess with it. Just throw it out. Too lazy. Or he's too lazy to clean his own game. A slothful man roasteth not that which he taketh in hunting. Just, you know, kill it for the sport of it and leave it lie. Too lazy to clean his own game. He won't change the oil in his car or do routine maintenance, so a car that ought to have gone 150 or 250,000 miles makes it to a third of its life or two-thirds of its life, and then he's done. What's the problem? He wasted some of the life of the automobile because he was just too lazy to deal with the routine maintenance. He's a slacker. And so now he doesn't have an automobile. A slacker, he gets paid today. And because he is not diligent in his bills and not diligent in his responsibilities, he goes out with the boys on the weekend and blows his entire paycheck, and by Monday it's all gone, just like the prodigal son. And what was the prodigal son's problem? He went into a far country and he wasted. You see that? He didn't want to work. He wanted the inheritance. He wanted the easy street. He wasted his substance with riotous living. And a slacker is a waster. He wastes time. He wastes money. You know, he wastes his friends. Wastes his parents. It's terrible. Because he's lazy. See, I told you, it's difficult to end a message like we're talking today. It's difficult to end a message on something so negative as this because you don't, you know, when you hear about it, if it's talking about you, you don't want to be like that anymore. You try to find a way to turn the radio off and have to quit listening to somebody, you know, talk about your sin. And if you're not lazy, it frustrates you when you think about people who are, that you work with, that fit this description perfectly. Guy shows up for late to work all the time. You know what the problem was? Sleeping in. Caused you shame because you've got a product you're dependent upon the guy, and then your customers call you and they're upset because the guy you've hired to do the job is a slacker and he's making you look bad. And he's a waster. He takes your tools out and he does work around whatever kind of job you put him on, and then he's too lazy to put the tools back in the toolbox and he leaves them lying out there, and the dew causes them to rust, and by the time you do find them, they're no longer suitable for use. And on the problem goes. The basic problem is with somebody that'll do that with your stuff and with your customers and with your equipment, leave stuff lying around, won't take care of it. You know what it is? They're just lazy. That's all there is. And it wouldn't make any difference if it was their equipment or yours. They'll treat it just as badly if it's theirs as if it's yours. It doesn't make a bit of difference to them. The fact that it doesn't belong to them has absolutely nothing to do with why they do what they do. What has to do with why they do what they do is that they're slackers. They're lazy. Hard to correct them. All right, now let me show you something else that's true of slack hands, something we find. This is in Proverbs chapter 13, Proverbs chapter 13, verse 4. Here's something else we find. You know what we find? Desire. Proverbs 13, 4. Desire. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing. He wants what you have. Look at the next guy. The soul of the diligent shall be made fat. He wants what you've got. He's just too lazy to go after it. It's not, you know, some people, I'm telling you, some people, you hang the carrot out in front of them like an incentive, and they'll jump on it. You tell a guy, look, you do your work, I'll pay you your regular hours, and then I'll give you a bonus at the end of the year. And you know, that's not an encouragement to him. Why? Because they're just too lazy to get excited about anything like that. They want what the diligent have, but they just can't bring themselves to put forth the effort to get it. And so the deal is they have nothing. Now, sometimes these guys will try to get you to feel sorry for them because life just dealt them bad blows. And I realize, again, there are legitimate times when something like this happens, but not most of the time. Most of the time, you're dealing with somebody that's got bad character. They're simply lazy, and that's why they don't have enough to eat, and that's why they don't have enough in the cupboard, and they don't have enough in the bank, and they don't have anything that works. They're just too lazy. They'd like it all to be different, but they don't want it enough to actually do something about it. And Paul said not to feel sorry about it, not to keep giving them handouts all the time. You say, really? I'll show you. I'll ease your conscience. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10. I'll ease your conscience. You might have some people that are hanging around begging off of you and bumming off of you and making you feel bad if you don't do something for them. Hey, if they are too lazy to hit a lick at a snake, then just forget about it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. There it is. Paul said it. If any would not work, neither should he eat. He said, don't feel sorry for them and don't dole out for them. Maybe if they get hungry enough, they might decide to change their ways. I'll show you something else we see with slack hands. With slack hands, we also see this. Comfort. Comfort. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 4. Look at it. Proverbs chapter 20, look at verse 4. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore he shall beg in harvest and have nothing. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Why? He wants to be comfortable. You see, a lot of manual labor is done in bad weather conditions. Many times it's too cold, not often down here, but many times it's too cold. Many times it's too hot. And if the slacker has to have the temperature just right before he'll go out and work, then that poor sucker will end up starving to death. Seriously, look at Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs chapter 21 and look at verse 25. The desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor. And that's what he'll do. He'll end up starving to death. He wants it, but he's just too lazy to go out and do anything about it because it's not just right. And as far as this temperature thing is concerned, you know, he says here he will not plow by reason of the cold. There are other conditions that are good enough excuses for a guy just to not go out and work. A lot of times he'll say, I've got a bad boss. I ain't going to go work. I ain't going to work for that guy. You know what his problem is? He's just looking for an excuse. I realize that there are a lot of guys out there that are not the perfect boss. But I also know something else, that if they want to keep their job, they need men that are going to do their jobs right. And if you do your job right, he may be cantankerous. You stay with it. You will find out tomorrow with the diligent. One of these days, you'll move on and get beyond all that. I can remember when we were back in the banking business and working in Houston at the old Capital National Bank. A friend of mine had a boss that was just, ugh. You know, he just did not want to work for this guy. But my friend kept showing up. He'd get there early and stay late, do a good job. And because he was diligent, he moved on and eventually surpassed that guy by many, many titles in the banking business. Why? Because he knew, even though he didn't like the guy, hey, it's just temporary. If I do a good job, I'll get on past this. He didn't need everything just right before he'd go to work. And some people will not work unless every little thing is just the way they want it. And, you know, truthfully, they're just looking for a reason not to work. All right, with slack hands, what do we find? Do a quick summary, and then we'll talk about one more thing. We find poverty, because it's a system that promotes, you know, if you can find a way to get a handout, then why work, right? Slack hands, we find poverty, sleep, shame, waste, desire, comfort, want everything just right. And then we find this, conceit. Look in Proverbs chapter 26, verse 16. Now, you're listening today, and you like to work. You love a man that'll come in and put in a good day's work. And you're hearing this stuff right here, and it's just getting up under your skin because you can't stand to be around people that work like this. Just drive you nuts. But you know them. You've seen them, and you know that the Bible is right. Every one of these things is just the way it's worded here in the Bible. Here's this one in Proverbs chapter 26, verse 16. The sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason. With a slacker, you're going to find conceit. He can give you every excuse under the sun why he can't get up and get going. Seven wise men, you and six of your friends, can sit down and give him good counsel about his ways, and he could still justify himself as a slacker. You've been around them, haven't you? And I'll tell you what, honestly, there's nothing you could do but just send them packing. Because they're not going to listen. Look in Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 13. Hey, look at this silly excuse. The slothful man saith, there is a lion without. I shall be slain in the streets. You talk about reaching for an excuse, man. Frankly, there is no cure for this guy. None. Because he's lazy. And nothing you say and nothing you do to try to present him with an incentive is going to change his mind one bit. Look at it, Proverbs chapter 24, verse 30. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 30. I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding, and lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof. And the stone wall thereof was broken down. His house is falling to pieces, and the weeds are growing up through everything. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yea, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Let me tell you something. You may not be the diligent employer today listening to this broadcast. Instead, you're a slacker, and it just so happens that you had time off this afternoon and you accidentally bumped into this radio station and had no idea when you were looking for something spiritual that you were going to get something as practical as this right out of the Bible. You know what the Bible tells you? If you've been so conceited that you've talked yourself into unemployment, and it's not a matter of your health, and it's not a matter of a legitimate injury, and I said a legitimate injury, and it's not a matter of some unavoidable circumstances. You just look at yourself in the mirror and realize, in fact, you are a slacker, you know what? I don't know if you have the character to get up off your backside and go to work. I really don't. But I tell you this, if you are saved and you're a slacker, you ought to get on your knees and confess before God that you have been wrong according to the Scripture. And if you're not saved, you ought to get on your knees and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And the first order of business you ought to ask Him to do for you after getting rid of your sins and giving you new life is to put some character into you where you can get up and go get a job and do what you're told. Otherwise, you're going to have poverty and sleep and shame and waste, and you're going to want things and not get them, and you're going to always want things to work out your way, and you're going to be, it's just going to be bad. You'll die the same way you came into this world and be grieved along the way. Don't go there. You know what Paul said? Paul's command to you and Paul's command to me in Romans chapter 12, verse 11 is very, very simple. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Now, get it through your mind that you serve the Lord Jesus Christ and not to be slothful in business, and go ahead and listen, deal with the paperwork, deal with the employer, put your hand to the plow, make you a good honest day's wage, bring home the money, take care of the bills, take care of the family, and do something with your life to please the Lord. Serving the Lord, he said, not slothful in business. Now, you say, that's going to be a major correction for me. I don't have the kind of character. Then ask God to start building that character into you. And covenant in your own mind that when you're given a job, you'll finish the job. And when you're given a job, you'll do the job right. And when you take tools, you'll put them back where they came from. And when you've been given a day's wage for 8 hours, you'll put in 8 hours and 10 minutes just to be sure you're not cheating the man. And not a minute less. And you change your ways. You know what? God will bless you for it. That's what he said in the book. And you'll find out more about the diligent when you tune in tomorrow afternoon.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241 6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.